The Psalms is a spiritual oasis for everyone who is going through a difficult time, who is pressured, going into the valley of indecision. This psalm is an oasis in the desert. I turn to this psalm, not only Psalm 139, but anywhere in the Psalms, that I find that spiritual refreshment. It's like a cool drink of water to a weary traveler. And I encourage you to keep your Bibles open, follow along with me today, but to take this psalm home and sometime today or during the week to read it over several times, not just one time, but after you've read it over maybe two times silently, then read it out loud. Because this psalm is for you and me and all who will believe. It will bless you, it will refresh you, it will minister to you, because this psalm tells us that God knows us, that God knows all about us, that He sees us, that He knows our circumstances, He knows where we are, and He's going to direct our paths. Those are the very things you need. So wouldn't it be wonderful to take about 3 minutes to read this psalm through three times? It won't take long, but oh, the blessing that will come to you as you read it, particularly when the future is foggy and filled with uncertainties. Know this, that there are no unknowns to God. There are many things that are unknown to us, but nothing is unknown to Him. So I really need to talk to the man who knows. He's going to lead me and bless me and do great and wonderful things for those who come to Him in faith believing. The Psalms, as I said, it tells us that God knows all about us, that God is everywhere present, that God is with us, strengthening us, guiding us, providing for us. When the psalmist, notice this. The psalmist didn't have this psalm to read for himself. It wasn't even written. Well, where then did he come by these beautiful, wonderful, faith-building words? It came about in profound prayer. In profound prayer before God, these thoughts came to him. These words impacted his heart. And then he took a pencil and wrote it down. Now, you and I can read it, but he didn't have it to read. He found it in a one-on-one relationship with the Lord. And that's really what counts. So before you read it, just ask God, say a little prayer, open my heart, help me to understand. God is not only with us to help us with all of our needs. Listen to this. He goes before us, and when we get there, He's already there to meet us. Now, this is the God you serve. You don't have to walk in the fog anymore. You have a God that loves you and that is with you and that hears your prayers and will do great and wonderful things. But it takes some profound praying. It's not just a little quip that you say before you jump in bed. No, it's the Word of God. I want to tell you about a lady by the name of Mrs. Mary Crowley. I heard her speak a number of years ago at the prayer conference, at the prayer breakfast downtown Washington, D.C. Mary Crowley started a business, Home Interiors and Gifts Incorporated, many years ago, Mary did. Now, she is a devout Christian. Listen, when you take God into your business, into your home, into your life, into your finances, and God stands ready to come on in and do great things. Well, Mary started this little business in her garage. This was a few years ago. At that time, when Mary was speaking, she told the audience that the past year, her business took in literally hundreds of millions of dollars. See, that's what God does when you pray, when you look to Him. When you take your difficulties and circumstances, You see, she was somewhat walking in the fog. She had no idea what God was going to do. She has, well, not now, but back then, she had already trained 39,000 women to become sales representatives. And they got out into the world, and they did a business for God. Now, this is Mary. Here's a vibrant, positive, friends, you think negative, you become negative. And because you are already negative, that's why you're thinking negative. But if you have a vibrant outlook on life and a positive outlook, that's going to be helpful, faith-building, and very encouraging. So catch yourself when you're going to say something negative or when you're thinking a negative thought, slap yourself in the face and say, stop it. Stop. It's a habit. It'll keep happening until you stop it. You know, it takes about 60 days to break a habit, a cigarette smoking habit or any kind of habit. It doesn't happen immediately. But if you do it consistently, and negative thinking will put you in the valley, in the fog, and hold you down. But you can break it with God's help. You can break it. Now, here's the secret of her success. This is what she said. She said she trusted the Lord every step of the way. She trusted God. She said that she believes that success is doing what God wants you to do and doing it with excellence. She said that she tithed her money. She tithed on every dollar that she ever made. And she showed great care for the people who work with her and for her. This woman has great hope in the future. And this is what she said, and I'll never forget it. She said, don't be afraid of tomorrow. God is already there. Do you believe that? Then you take your need to the Lord, and you will see something tremendous, wonderful happening in your life. Now, I asked you a moment ago to open your Bible, to keep them open, to Psalm 139, and I'm going to ask you now to hold your Bible up so you can read it and read the first three verses right out of the Bible that you're holding in your hand. Read it with me in unison. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Now, I'm not going to go into a whole lot of background here, but the psalmist was going through a very difficult time. And that's when he got on his knees and his face before the Lord and prayed profoundly. And God came through in a great way. Now, the thing that caused him to move in this direction was he was being falsely accused. People sometimes will say things about you, even to you, because it comes out of their negative heart, and they are sitting in judgment. See, the people were saying about the psalmist, you have deceived the people. Purposely, you have deceived the people. Now, friend, stop playing God. You don't know my heart. And the people didn't know the psalmist's heart. This was a man of God in prayer before the Lord who was hurting deeply. Do you enjoy hurting people? No, you don't. You're a people of love and mercy. You really are. And I've seen it in the many years that I've been here with you and that you've been here. The psalmist was going through that very difficult time. But in that prayer time before the Lord, he found out two great things about God's nature. And number one, he found out that God is omniscient. Number two, he found out that God is omnipresent. Now, when he found out that God is omniscient, meaning he found out that God knows him and knows everything about him and everything that he was going through. You know, that's a wonderful discovery to make on your knees, isn't it? Say it with me. God knows me. He knows everything about me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Wherever my life is going, he'll be there to meet me. Can you say amen? Amen. Great things are going to happen to some of you. I just know it because we are talking about faith in the living God. Omniscience. God knows everything about me, the psalmist says, and omnipresent, meaning that wherever I go, He's there. I'm not alone with anything or any problem. God is there with me. So many of us are trying to get God's attention. We feel that He's aloof, that He's got so many things to take care of, that He's not concerned about my little problem. Friend, you're His child, and He loves you, and He is concerned about however you're feeling and however small and insignificant that problem might be, or however great that problem might be, or those circumstances. He's there. There's a movie coming out that I really want to see. I believe it's called Captain Philip. What is it? That's it. I don't know. And Tom Hanks is the star of that film. Well, somebody asked Tom Hanks, can you give me a definition of a hero? And this is what Tom Hanks said. He said, a hero is somebody who voluntarily walks into the unknown. Now, I thought about that, and I thought, well, that's not quite right, but it's almost right. A hero is someone who voluntarily walks into the unknown. Well, friend, you walk into the unknown every day of your life. Voluntarily or not, if you wake up, you're going to live that day, possibly. So voluntarily walks into the unknown. But you don't have to walk into the unknown. The unknown can be there, but you know that God is there. And it's no unknown to Him. No secrets with the Lord. He knows right where you are, and He's going to take care of you and minister and bless you and take you through. Now, what is it that God knows about the psalmist? What God is it that God knows about you? Let me tell you what God knows about you and me. Would you like to know? You just read it. You just read it in Psalm 139, verses 1, 2, and 3. First thing He knows is every casual thing about you. Now, notice I said casual thing. The psalmist said in verse 2, you know when I sit and when I rise. Now, there's nothing more casual or common than sitting down in a chair, and then in a little while getting up. And God knows that. And the psalmist in prayer discovered that about God. God knows when I sit down and when I get up. The second thing He knows about us in verse 2 again, the psalmist said, you perceive my thoughts from afar. He knows what's going on in my mind before that thought gets to my tongue and I speak the word. And He also knows about those thoughts that are invasive, that I don't want to think them anymore. He knows about them, and I can take them to Him, and He can form new thoughts. Listen, God creates. He is still the great creator, and He can form new thoughts in your mind. Those negative thoughts, those thoughts that get you down, those memories of the people who may have hurt you or disappointed you, that just keeps coming back for the last 25 years. It keeps coming back. Every once in a while you remember it again, and it's just like it happened yesterday. But God can take those thoughts, those negative thoughts away, and form new thoughts in your mind. Wow. Did you hear me? Those thoughts. He said He knows when I sit down and when I rise. He knows my thoughts from afar. In verse 3, He said, you discern my going out and my lying down. Well, the fact is that God knows where I am and what I do. He knows where I am and what I do, which simply means He can direct my paths. He can help me. He knows where I am. You know, listen to this. He discerns my going out and my lying down. God knows what time I go to bed at night. That's what that means. And when I close my eyes in sleep, He doesn't close His eyes. the morning, Corinne and I get up and we have our prayer, and I say, God, thank you for watching over me and Corinne during the night. Friend, you don't want your house broken into, do you? Well, God's people better begin to rely on God. These are evil and difficult days. God is with us. God is going to take care of us. And he says, you know all my ways, which simply means you are completely familiar with me. Now, when you accept the fact that God is with you, that God has gone ahead of you to prepare the way for you, now you can relax and enjoy where you presently are. We are so uptight, so tense. Our muscles are so taut. Our blood vessels are so constricted. And we live that way from morning till night. You don't have to live that way. You can live a relaxed life and enjoy life knowing that God is there and God is with you. Now, there's three groups of people I want to talk about as I can come to the conclusion of this message. I want to talk to the elderly. I want to talk to the singles and the single parents. And I want to talk to the youth. The only group I left out are the married, since they need more help than anybody else. I'm going to do a whole sermon for you. I'm saving the best to last. The elderly sometimes fears the future. They are concerned about their finances. Are they going to have enough money to take them all the way through? They're concerned about their health. For the most part of human history, we didn't have old people. We didn't. Most people died between the ages of 60 and 70. Only a few made it to that age. Most people, elderly people, died before their hair turned white. It wasn't until the 20th century that the average lifespan reached the age of 50. But the psalmist said this. Here I am again in the psalmist. Psalm 37, verse 25. He said, I was young, and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Young, and now I'm old. You see, he was not speaking from theory. He was speaking from experience. This is what he had experienced all his life long. He's telling us this, that God is faithful. So elderly, don't fear the unknown. God knows all about you. And wherever life takes you, you'll find that God has gone ahead and he's there to meet you. Can the elderly say, praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. We have a few elderly here with me. I got you on that one, didn't I? But the singles, let me have your ears for just a moment. You know, God is with you. You don't have to fear the unknown. He knows all about you and your circumstances. And wherever life takes you, God's going to be there, already made preparation for you. Now, there are two classes of singles, really, maybe three. There are singles who are looking forward to getting married someday. And that's a big goal, and that's a good goal. And then there are singles who do not want to get married. They want to remain single because being single, they don't have a spouse and children to care for, and they can give more of their energy and time to the work of God. This is exactly what Paul the Apostle said, and he was living the single life. He asked people to be as I am, but he said not everybody can take that. But the single parents, there are 35% of all children in America who are living with a single parent. Now, that's hundreds of thousands and thousands upon thousands of children living with single parents. But each person must choose the lifestyle his or she is going to live. Don't fear the unknown. Single person, don't fear the unknown. God is with you. He's going to take care of you. And wherever you arrive, you're going to find out he's already been there and made preparation for you. It's going to be all right if you take God, if you pray to God, if you seek God, if you're truly a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are a person of the Word. Your life can turn around so quickly and so easily just by getting on your knees with the Bible in your hand and looking to the Lord. God can do great things. Amen. Now, young people, I don't know how many young people we have here today, but young people, they're trying to find their way. And the future might look bright and good, and it might look ominous to them. But they're in the process of individualizing, drawing away from their parents and becoming their own person. And they're experimenting with many things. And those sex hormones are jumping like crazy inside of them. Young person, God knows all about you. You're His. He loves you. And wherever life takes you, He's going to be there ahead of you. Follow Jesus. Follow the Lord. A number of years ago, a lady came to see me. She was only 17 years old. She was pregnant. Her mother brought her. And do you know, after 27 years, Corinne and I were at a convention in Tennessee with 7,000 people there, and that lady recognized me. You can calculate her age now. She was 17. Now, that was 27 years ago, so you add 27 and 17. You already knew that, though, didn't you? And that lady came to me. Her mother brought her to me. She went to a doctor that is a friend of mine that I've known for many years, and that doctor examined the girl and said, "Why don't you go over and talk to Pastor Morris?" And her mother brought her two times, and she recognized me, and she came up to me and she said, "You're Pastor Morris." She said, "I met you 27 years ago, and I was about to give up my baby. I was going to give my baby up for adoption, and you said to me that God had a special mission for me, that God had chosen me to be that baby's mother." And she said, "I kept the child." She reached in her purse and she pulled out her phone. She rolled up the pictures and she said, "Here's my 27-year-old daughter and here's my 3-year-old granddaughter." Now this lady, this was only 2 weeks ago, she is now an ordained minister. She is an associate pastor down in River Trace, Annapolis. She said, "If you want to, you can give my name and you can name the church, but I'm not going to go that far." You see, God does great things for young people who will turn to Him. And she said, "I was so young." And she said, "I made a mistake." She said, "I was a Christian, but," she said, "I made a mistake." Young people, God forgives mistakes. Don't go out there looking for them. You know, one man came to me one time and he said, "Pastor," he doesn't go to this church, it's been years ago. He said, "I'm just about finished with my wife." And he said, "I have a girlfriend on the side." He said, "How about if I divorce my wife, I know it's wrong, if I divorce my wife and I marry this girl and then I repent of it?" I don't know what I answered him, if I even answered him. See, you don't play games with God. It's what a day to meet that gal after all of those years. And that 27-year-old daughter has a 3-year-old daughter, and she's now pregnant again. Young people, don't forget, you don't have to fear the unknown. God is with you. He knows everything about you. And wherever life takes you, and it's going to take you someplace, God has already gone ahead and prepared, and He'll be there to meet you when you get there.